You're watching Beyond the Headlines with Mike Matthews.
What is up, medical device processing world? This is Beyond the Headlines with Mike Matthews. I am Mike Matthews, and across from me is Bob Mars, who is helping me out on this episode. And Bob, the reason we've got you on for this one is because we have a story out of our friends to the north in Canada. They have a hospital that announced recently that they are canceling a number of elective orthopedic procedures, specifically total knees and total hips procedures. And I'm just going to go ahead and just level with everybody that there's a whole lot that we don't know because it's always very difficult, especially when you're reading some of these articles, because the media doesn't know necessarily what they're talking about. But based on the fact that it is specifically total knees and total hips that are being delayed, canceled, and then pushed back multiple months, it appears, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it probably has something to do with loaners, Bob, which is what the subject of our interview with you was a couple of months ago, where we talked about the dirty truth of loaners. Is that kind of what you're seeing as well?
Yeah, it sounds suspiciously like a loaner issue to me. And when you think about them, why would you not just get on the news and say, hey, here's what happened and we're fixing it? Mm-hmm. Just be honest about it and let folks know what's going on, because in the time that they're not doing that, people like us are sitting around and speculating, you know, was the stuff rusty? Was it a vendor who was bringing stuff in at midnight for a 7 a.m. case that they couldn't get processed in time, so they're cutting corners to get it up to the operating room? All of those things that fall into the, okay, we got to cut corners, we can't do it right, so of course infection control is not happening appropriately.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you bring up a good point that, you know, there's so many extra factors that go along with loaners. And the one thing that the article does state is that it was a normal quality assurance review that revealed that there were these problems with processing these trays that were specific to those cases. What, in your opinion, would be the types of things that a quality review would catch that would cause us to believe that those instrument sets were not sterile?
There are so many things that can happen. You know, like I said before, vendors bringing them in either the night before very late or even bringing them in the morning of, and then dropping them in sterile processing saying, holy cow, how am I going to process these things in an hour when it takes me five typically to get this stuff through and get it up to the operating room without delaying the case, without, you know, we've got a patient on the table that needs an implant and maybe the patient's already asleep. It could be that. It could be compromised packaging issue. It could be just from misuse or mishandling. So many things could break in the line, getting it from sterile processing to the operating room safely. And there are so many things that happen, as you know, that cause sterile processing professionals to have to cut corners to get things through more quickly. Maybe they skip the mechanical washing process and they just hand washed, passed it through the window and said, hey, we got to get this, you know, it's all we can do. We don't have time to do it the other way.
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually been in that position before where, you know, you've got an orthopedic surgeon who calls you up to the front desk and says, hey, you know, I need to do this procedure. I've got this patient who has a messed up shoulder, messed up arm, whatever, and I need this instrument set to make them better, but I need to go like right now. So what can you do? Fix it, make it better. And they kind of put that pressure on you that says, listen, whether or not this person gets the procedure they need is entirely on you. So, you know, it puts the sterile processing manager in a really bad position where if you're not really well versed in infection prevention, the IFUs themselves, what could go wrong if you're not plugged into the industry and you don't know about articles like this. It's very intimidating to stand up to a surgeon and say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And I know that you've interacted with a lot of surgeons throughout your career. How would you suggest a sterile processing manager interact with a surgeon in that particular instance? I mean, how do you control all those nerves and communicate in a way that really does effectively interact with that surgeon?
Yeah, I think it's one that is very challenging. It has to come from an air of mutual respect. And often the respect coming from the operating room is not the same level that we're giving to the operating room. But at the end of the day, I think we have to be open and honest. I always tell folks, and instead of getting yourself in trouble, blame everything on the best practice standards and recommendations that are out there and say, listen, I want to do this for you, but if I don't do it, here's the ramification. Not only could we have a negative impact for the patient, but this could hit the media like this story. We're not doing things right. Joint Commission wants us to provide the same standard of care to every patient. And if we're cutting corners for one and not the other, we're not providing that standard of care. So we're setting ourselves up for an issue.
So, Bob, you bring up a really excellent point, which is the threat of things like this landing in news articles, because one thing that is made abundantly clear in this particular article is the amount of anger from the patients who are affected, which, of course, is justifiably understood. Now, and this kind of brings up one of those sort of pet peeves of mine. When hospitals say, you know, that no patients were harmed or no patients were negatively affected by failures in the reprocessing portion, you know, you see this in any hospital that sort of gets caught with these issues. They always say, well, we maintain that no patients were harmed, but you can clearly tell from the patients who were interviewed in this article that they were angry. They had put their lives on hold for these procedures, and now they were being told that all those plans that they had made, they have to cancel them all and then make them again in 2 months, which involved canceling other things. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, patients are normal people. They have plans. They have lives. And so anytime you have to, you know, even if they never made it to the surgical table, the fact that they had to wait an additional 2 months to have a necessary procedure done, that's 2 extra months of pain. That's 2 extra months of planning or anticipating the surgery and all of the, you know, pre-surgery anxiety that goes on and being NPO, you know, where you don't take any food or water for 12 hours beforehand, you know, like these are all impacts on these patients' lives. So even if the patient never makes it to the table, it's never accurate to say that no patient was negatively affected or harmed, even from something like canceling a surgery. And so, like I said, you bring up a really good point of these things are starting to make it to the newspapers. And now that hospital is associated with canceled surgeries and angry patients.
Yeah. Hey, about the NPO thing, no lie. You think about a patient that was already at the hospital, their family are with them. Their family took off work to drive them in and to be with them that day, probably friends and have come in to visit with them as well. So they're all waiting. The patient is nervous as all get out. And, you know, I've had a lot of surgery and it is scary having surgery. Mm-hmm. So automatically you're already going to be tense and uptight and worried. And oh my gosh, I'm going to wake up. And when I wake up, I'm going to be in horrible pain. And then all of a sudden, okay, we're done. We're not going to be having surgery today. You're going to have to wait 2 months. That's a big, big deal, and I don't think it should be something that should be downplayed.
Yeah. Now, one thing that was mentioned, and we've already talked about it a little bit, was that it was, according to the article, it was a normal quality review that caught this problem. So this kind of just emphasizes the importance of doing record audits, but it also tells us something that it was a retroactive audit that caught something that was happening in real time. So one thing that we've talked about many times is training people how to stop the line. Mm-hmm. You know, especially like you mentioned, you know, you've got that loaner set that comes in the night before. It's that third shift and maybe they just know to keep things moving. Bob, how do you communicate to your staff the importance of maintaining those records accurately, but then when you see something that's not right, actually having the courage to stand up and say something about it?
Yeah, it's culture, 100% culture. You have to build a culture of empowerment in your staff as a leader. They have to know that the lowest person on the ladder can step up at any time and say, wait a minute, I don't know that I agree with what's going on now. Can we just talk about it? Mm-hmm. And, you know, give them the opportunity. Say they are receiving loaner trays at 2 a.m. Tell them it's okay to call me at my house at 2 a.m. and wake me up and say, I got loaner trays. What do you want me to do? And this is where robust policies come in and help us. And, you know, you have a policy that says, I expect the loaner trays to be here a minimum of 48 hours, if not 72 hours prior to a procedure. And if you don't meet that, sales rep, I'm sorry, but we're not going to use them.
I think you said the magic word, which is culture. If you have a culture that is keep the surgeries moving, keep the schedule going, don't upset the doctors, you are going to have problems like this.
Yeah.
But if you have a culture that says we're willing to do the hard thing, we're willing to have these conversations with the physicians, we're planning ahead in case things like this happen, we've got the policies in place. We've already got the support of administration. Getting those things into place beforehand help empower your people so that they don't feel like at that 2 o'clock in the morning that it's them versus the world.
Yeah.
So I think you hit the nail on the head. Until next time, this has been another episode of Beyond the Headlines. Thanks for listening.